Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Ohio goes, I'm Haas. Welcome back to the High Pushing Podcast. It is me, Steve Crazy.
And I'm Halls Burkhart. And we're just continuing on from the last episode, the boys' weekend.
That's right. Look, fellas.
Look down at the recorder that's at an hour, and I said, look at us. Look at us. Who would thought? So when we left off, we came home after the Tool concert and all went to bed. One of my favorite bits of the weekend is something that happened the next morning. Because I'm laying in bed, and before I went to bed, I was like, listen, guys, if any of y'all need to go outside, just disarm the security system. And I told everybody the code. And I'm laying in bed, sleeping, hitting that honk shoe, and I start hearing, beep, 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 beep. And then I hear somebody coming down the hall. And I want to take a break to tell you what Will told us he heard. Because I got a air mattress and everything. And I was like, Will, I got brand new sheets, blankets, pillows, air mattresses. You're all set. He slept on a couch. And from Will's point of view, Nick came up from the basement where the other guest bedroom is. And he touched the thing and goes, oh, no. Oh, no. So he's coming down the hallway, and I managed to blah, 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 blurt out the
he
fucking...
He comes to me first, because I'm in the first room, and I'm like, oh!
Yeah.
Just yell it out at him, and then
and then we get up, and he's like, sorry. Sorry, buddy.
Shit, I went back to sleep for a couple hours.
Yeah, oh, so did I. I went right back to sleep. And we decided, all right, well, let's go get some brunch. So we went to Marty's and hung out with our buddy Berkeley a little bit and had some food. And then we were kind of getting the idea for the day together. Like, what are we going to do? Will needed to leave, not super early, but, you know.
Hit the road.
Yeah. He had to hit the road, get back to the family. So we came back to the house a little bit and hung out, played some Fortnite for Nick. Showed Nick Fortnite some more. He was like, you're a pumpkin guy. Last night when I was playing with Will, I made him make me a pumpkin. Will had it out. And we decided, all right, well, what we want to do, there's this store here called Second and Charles. That's on paper, suppose is a used bookstore. And it is. But they have so much other shit there. It's like one of my favorite stores in Birmingham. I fucking love this place.
Yeah, I wish we had one down near me.
And so we decided to go check that out. We want to take my stuff by the frame shop so I can get on that. The last thing I want to do is just leave that all sitting there and be like, I'll get to it eventually. So I kind of have to be proactive about that shit to get it done.
And luckily there was a place really close to... the Second and Charles.
So. Yeah. We kind of worked it out because I didn't want to be out driving all over Birmingham all day.
Yeah, and you were pretty tired because, to be fair, you had to do a lot of exercising the day before.
Bro, pushing my carpal tunnel and sleeping and fat and treatment and fat, you know. So I was pretty beat. So we went to Second and Charles and just descended on this place and started looking at shit, you know. And this might be the only time I've ever been to Second and Charles and not left with something, to be completely honest. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I found a book that I wanted, but it was just one book, and it was like $3. And I was like, I don't really want to just buy this one book. I wanted to buy at least a couple.
Yeah.
I didn't really find anything. They had kind of disappointingly merged the horror section just into the fiction, which I hate.
Yeah, man. They had some weird organizational issues at Second and Charles, because I finished the Evangelion manga, and now there's two I wanted to check up on. I wanted to, because there's a Final Fantasy manga out there, and there's also one for Granblue. And I can feel my Spectrum obsession with Granblue oncoming, and we're going to take a quick pause here. So Granblue Fantasy is a mobile game that's been out for quite a while in Japan. As far as I could tell, there has never been an official U.S. release. They put out a U.S. patch for the Japanese version, but it's never been officially released here. I wouldn't know how I would begin to go playing it, right? And it is a sort of turn-based gacha mechanic phone RPG with anime titty ladies. Something I've been kind of interested in. And several years ago, they showed off that they were doing a fighting game and an RPG set in that universe for the console.
And the fighting game was being made by Arc System Works,
who are incredible. Yeah,
well-respected. Guilty Gear, Blaze Blue, that kind of stuff.
All kinds of stuff. Didn't they do Dragon Ball FighterZ?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and we have been talking about Granblue Fantasy Relink as one of the games that comes out at the beginning of the year this year in this crazy JRPG flood. And so the weekend before everybody came in town, Steve and I decided to give the demo a whirl, because there's a demo for Relink out. And so we downloaded that and played it, and I immediately was like, I like this. Oh, that samurai lady? That's my main. The demo was fun, dude.
It's got like a story part that we didn't really fuck with that, but it's got this other section that's called quests, where it's kind of like these little bite-sized things you can do as a team. And so we did that, and I picked the dragoon lady, whose name was Zeta. Because the main guy in Granblue, he's kind of boring, honestly. He's not like my favorite guy to look at stylistically. So she was a lot cooler. She's got a cool weapon, jumps on your ass. And it was a lot of fun. Like, the first one's real easy. It's just like, survive these three waves of goblins, right? Like, and we would just sit around and you just kind of hack and slash them. But if you get near somebody, you can kind of start doing tag team moves if you've got the meter for it.
Uh-huh.
Eventually, like, you can involve literally everybody in your party, five people
awesome.
Or whatever. Yeah.
Super, it's real fluid, like, it's snappy, like, the graphics look nice. It was fun. It was really fun, to the point where, like, now I'm very excited to co-op that game. Mm-hmm. I was excited for that game as it was. Now I'm full on sold on it.
Same. And it's way more Monster Hunter than I thought it would be. Like, the last quest we did was like basically fighting a giant Monster Hunter boss.
Yeah.
And that was a lot of fun, like kind of getting it into its different phases and doing the right attacks at the right time. You know, nothing too difficult, at least in this demo, but I bet in the future, the release, it's probably got some pretty good difficulty.
Yeah,
spikes.
And something tells me that the characters they gave us in the demo were probably pretty leveled, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, like, that's a good point, yeah.
Because it seemed like they had a lot of abilities and stuff available to them. But really dug it, and then we were just joking around with our buddy Jeff, and we're like, man, this is going to make me want to play the fighting game. And then next thing I know, I'm scrolling through the fucking PlayStation store. And next thing I know, I'm adding the fighting game to my cart. And next thing I know, I'm fucking purchasing it and downloading it. And next thing I know, so is Jeff. And then next thing I know, so is Steve. And then next thing I know, we're playing it against each other. Like, it just happened.
Yep, it was that same night.
Same night.
This was before I came down here, this stuff. But yeah, that was really funny. Like, we got done fucking around with the demo. And then we were like, let's check out this fighting game. And you were like, I started looking on the store, and I was like, fuck me, I guess. And you were like, what? Like, you knew immediately what I was talking about. And I was like, I'm thinking about getting this big fuck all version that has, like, all the extra, you know, the year pass and all that stuff. And you're like, me too.
Yeah, I'm going to do what I have to do.
Because, you know, they did announce that they're putting a favorite character of mine from another game series into
2B from Nier.
2B from Nier. So I'm very curious to see her in this game. The game's a lot of fun. We played a little bit of it yesterday.
Yeah.
Right? So
I think it slaps. Mm-hmm. It's a real fun 2D fighter. I mean, the anime ladies in this game are just awesome. Oh, hold on.
Tier.
Yeah, fucking vamp for a little bit because I have to raise a mystery here.
Okay. So it's a 2D fighter. The pace is somewhere between, I want to say, like Guilty Gear Strive and something like King of Fighters or Street Fighter. It's not as fast as those games, but it's not as slow as something like Strive, not as deliberate. All the characters have, it's a 4-button fighter. It's not 6. And all the characters have the same pretty much move set, like a fireball motion, like a down to forward motion, and any of your buttons, same thing, dragon punch, same motion with any of your buttons. It all works to do special attacks. So the entry to play is pretty easy if you have some fighting game experience, I'd say.
Yeah, it's fairly accessible, I'd say.
Pretty easy. So, yeah. But after that, there's of course, a fucking ton of depth to it, which I didn't even start looking at. If you look at, like, the tutorials, they're going to teach you how to, like, guard break and all these advanced techniques. So it's got all that, just like any other game. But we had a lot of fun just playing it. You know, I think I prefer it to Strive.
Oh, I think so, too.
Yeah, and I like Strive a lot.
But,
so.
Well, you know what Strive is missing?
I don't know about that.
What's not? You sure about that?
You sure about that?
No, you're right. It has some, but not on this level.
Not on this level.
You know what's really funny is after you and I got obsessed with two characters in the demo for the RPG, we were like, I wonder if they're fighting game. Their characters in the fighting game, and you just hear Jeff typing. Yep. And then Steve, Wednesday evening, I get off of work, and I'm like, fuck yeah, half a day. And I go out and there's a box on my front porch. And the number of degenerates that could be responsible for sending me this who know my new address is small, right? And somebody sent me an anime titty figure of my lady from Granblue.
And it looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Narmia, is that her name?
It sure is.
She's got horns coming out the side of her head.
Mm-hmm.
She's got a big old sword.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, a big old sword. That thing's probably taller than she is.
Yep.
Which is, you know, I love that aesthetic of gigantic swords. I mean, I don't care. Female or male, everybody looks way cooler if they're wielding a sword that's 5 times bigger than they are.
I think the fighting game's real fun. I've got a handful of characters I feel pretty, I wouldn't say comfortable or good with, but I'm like, okay, I can sort of see, you know, put some pieces together. And then, of course, and Jeff, I'm stealing this.
Oh.
Fair play is fair play. So, of course, I'm just playing the anime ladies.
Yeah, of course.
There's so many, and I'm like, well, this game. So,
yeah, let's sample all that first,
yeah.
And then eventually we start picking some of the male fighters, right?
The dudes. And Jeff shows up with a cat boy who's not just one cat boy, he's 3 cat boys.
Yeah, it's 3 cat boys, they're brothers, and like... So in all these fighting games, the intros when you fight, most of the time it's impressive. You see them, they say a couple lines, usually personalized to whoever they're fighting, and then they get to it. These cat boys, they have like a full 30-second anime scene from like a slice of life where they're
more, where they're talking about how hot this lady is. You think she'll go out with us if we beat her in this fighting tournament?
They're drinking and eating.
Yeah. And then their ultimate move, they turn into a catboy mech.
Yeah, like two of them come out and grab the other one and lift him up.
Yeah. It's a a mech made out of Catboy.
It's and their win animation where they're just doing like they go down and they kind of come up,
yeah,
back and, on either side to side, yeah, but they're all doing it real quick, yeah, behind each other. Oh my god, it's brilliant. Brilliant character design.
Amazing.
A lot of fun, it seems like, as a character.
Wait for that RPG now, man. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This is about to become a Grand Blue podcast.
Yeah, that's a dark horse to take the lead in early 2024 as the early game we talk about the most.
I bet. Oh god, I can't wait. So yeah, the fighting game, and I mean, I don't want to say the JRPG gets our seal of approval yet.
Just yet.
Because
no,
we've only played the demo, but the fighting game does. And if the JRPG turns out to be good, I'm going to be reading that manga, yeah, and shouldn't be full in.
Get all this the way in.
This lady's going to have some friends on the shelf. It's over for me. You know, what am I doing here?
The best way I can describe the game outside of the quest mode is it feels real Genshin Impact meets Monster Hunter, I think, is, yeah, what we're looking at.
Yeah. When I was researching Granblue, I saw a lot of people that were like, essentially like,
Genshin is a ripoff.
Is inspired by Granblue.
Or not a ripoff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to be a little nice.
Yeah, Genshin is a wildly successful game. And that sound you hear, ladies and gentlemen, is Haas unboxing. Unboxing his Granblue fantasy figure.
Oh my god.
I'm actually happy that this is happening on mic because I want to see it. You got a pretty sweet shelf also, by the way, of some pretty nice things. I introduced Nick to Power Chan last night.
Oh my god, that we got another funny Power Chan. He was like, so this is Power Chan, and Halls loves him with all his heart. Her with all his heart. The feeling is not mutual.
Yep, showed him all your Asuka and Evangelion Unit 1 stuff.
And Nick was like, cool. It's cool. I don't know what any of this is.
I don't care, man. Me and you, weebs forever, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So,
Can I see her?
Oh, fucking, you can see her? Hell yeah.
Wow, whichever degenerate sent you this, God, if that degenerate, I doubt they would ever send me a Zeta figure, but that would be...
Bruh, that'd be sick. We might have to look into that.
Yeah, man, that's cool.
Degenerates hang together.
It's a really nice figure. It feels like a good material it's made of.
Japanese anime titty fingers are usually pretty good quality. You know,
probably sell pretty well.
Us perverts demand a certain amount of quality, you know? I wouldn't say we're renegades like that, because I would never say that about myself. Anybody that refers to themselves as rock and roll or renegades is clearly neither of those things, but...
What size would you say this figure is?
6 inches?
6 inches tall.
Yeah.
It'd be fun as, like, if we were playing Warhammer and we used her as, like, a god character.
Yeah. Yeah, bro.
That'd be great.
So
yeah, I really enjoy that fighting game too. Well, we're about to talk about Tekken, but
yeah,
I'm kind of torn. Like, I honestly want to play them both at the same time when we're together now. You know what I mean?
I mean, why can't we do both? Yeah. You know, like, they're so different, right?
Mm-hmm, they are.
And this all circles back around to why I was looking for Granblue mangas in Second and Charles.
That's right.
And they didn't have them.
That's what we were talking about. We were talking about their weird decisions. They fold the horror into the fiction. And then the manga section is like alphabetized, but it's on three weird separate aisles,
and they're not like in relation to each other where they make sense at all, bro.
Right, yeah,
at any point does it make sense. I'll put this lady together either later.
what was the other one you were looking for?
The Final Fantasy manga.
That's right, the Final Fantasy manga, which they didn't have either.
No, go figure.
So yeah, rare. And also, speaking of power,
yeah, so I'm looking around and Nick goes, hey, isn't that lady the lady you have on your shelf? And I mean, you're gonna have to be a little more specific. So I'm like, ooh, what are you talking about? And sure enough, there's an SH figure arts of power in the back of one of their glass cases. They have glass cases with like more expensive stuff in it. They'll have old games and shit like that. And so I'm like, oh fuck. And then we go and try to find Steve. We find Steve and I'm like, there's a problem. you got to come see what's in this case. And then I get a guy. I'm like, I have to get it, I think. And the guy goes and gets his keys. He's a little huffy about it. He opens the case and pulls it out. I'm like, what's the price on that? And he turns it around and it's $99.95. And I said, I'm good. You can put it back in the case.
Yep.
See ya. And we left.
Yeah. Fortunately for Power Chan, you had spent your wad on the Tool concert. So.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. When I got home last night before I went to bed, I started looking. I was like, bitch, I can find this thing for $60 online, you bitch.
Yeah. You bitch.
That's a new character that came up this weekend, and I don't know where it came from, but boy, it got some play.
Yeah. Yeah, you were hardcore on it last night.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
You bitch! I don't know what... So we came home and ordered Chinese food and started playing video games again. And so we played some Tekken 8.
Yeah.
Now, this is where we'll break into our Tekken 8 talk.
Cool. Yeah, because we were able to talk both Will and Nick into playing it, right?
Yeah.
Because, okay, here's the deal with Tekken. It doesn't have a lot of motions like a lot of fighting games do.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost all positional and directional, right? Like you're going to hold a direction, but you're far away from a guy or close to him.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got mainly like three attack buttons and one kind of button that I'm not quite sure what it does yet.
I got to get a little one-on-one time with
right,
Tekken.
Same here. We haven't had that yet. We've only basically just jumped into the verses with each other. But it results in a game where it's always kind of been surprisingly easy to get good results, even if you're not good, quote-unquote, at fighting games, right? Mm-hmm. And that holds true to this game. Now, granted, if you're playing somebody who probably really knows what they're doing, you're going to get smoked.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm sure as next weekend rolls around and fucking Randy and Jeff show up, I'm going to get duty stomped all over the
place.
We both
will.
Like, you
want
to play Grand Blue, Steve? Narmia wouldn't do this to me, Steve. She probably would, knowing my luck.
But man, Tekken 8 is a lot of fun.
Dude, and it looks incredible.
It's phenomenal. I mean, look. Let me give your TV a little bit of love here. My man has a 75-inch OLED, and it looks fucking amazing. Like,
dude, I have never liked a TV. Like, I'm a kind of a TV guy, right? I'm a TV monitor. You know what I mean? Video game guy. I like electronics. I've never loved a TV like I've loved that TV.
I don't blame you.
It has made me an LG OLED fan for life.
Yeah, and I have like basically the 55-inch version of that.
It's a great TV.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to probably get a new one soon. I'm not sure if we'll go 75, but I think 65 is probably what we'll do.
Yeah.
Those are probably getting cheaper. When we were looking at the 55 inches back then, the 65 inch was a difference of like $1,000. So
yeah, that's not so much the case anymore.
Right
now, when you get into like the 75, 80 and shit like that, then it gets a little crazier.
Makes sense. But yeah, so the game looks absolutely phenomenal on your TV, and it sounds phenomenal. Like the
sound
thuds,
design,
the hits, everything sounds like 18-wheel trucks colliding at high speed on an interstate. Like it sounds like no other fighting game I can really think of. And the character designs in this one,
sick,
pretty good. You would agree?
Oh yeah, man.
We've got some early favorites.
Yeah, I like Reyna and Asuka.
Mm-hmm.
Asuka might be my best.
She's awesome.
She is awesome, but Reyna's cool too. I can't remember all their names yet because it's been a while since I've really been into Tekken.
Same. Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of folks I'm familiar with and then a lot of people where I'm just like, that's pretty lady. I'm be that lady.
Yeah. Zhao Yu has been fun for me.
Yeah. She's cool.
I like her. I like Jack.
Yeah.
Big power. He's been there. He's been in there. Huao Rang is pretty fun.
Mm-hmm.
Our buddy Nick was using Huao Rang.
One of you guys needs to play my boy Huao Rang. And we were like, Nick, you play him.
Yeah, you can do
No, I'm not good at Nick!
And he was winning rounds, or at least, and I think he might have won a fight or two, like a whole last.
Oh yeah, he definitely did.
So. Same with Will. Will was pretty good. I can't remember who he was using necessarily, but a
few different folks.
Yeah, but I remember he threw me around once pretty good and kicked my ass.
So last night I feel like we played enough to where I started grasping some of the concepts.
Oh, for Asuka?
Yeah.
Yeah, you were kicking the shit out of us, to put it mildly.
I stopped playing as her after a while. I was like, all right.
I wanted it to keep going. I wanted to eventually beat her, you know? But you were really doo-doo stomping us.
Yeah, once I figured out that grab system and how that chains together with, like, the air juggling and shit, there's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
There is a lot.
It's a ton. I mean, you really need a PhD in fighting to learn one character all the way down to its core. So, but they make it on a base level easy enough to compete, right? Everybody's got probably a move where you just hit triangle a couple times and you're going to do like a combo, or square. But if you really dig into it, it's shockingly deep what you can actually pinpoint and do with some of these characters. It's crazy.
Yeah, dude. Like, when you look at those fucking move lists.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really intimidating.
Like 8 pages long. I'm like, okay, all right, I'm going to remember that.
Right. Because so much of it is situational and positional. Like, they just have to list everything, you know?
Yeah, and honestly, it's one of those things that more so than just sitting there and looking at those moves lists, I just got to play rounds.
Right, exactly. You know, just get a feel for it. Exactly, same with me. And just get like more of those fucking sledgehammer, like kaboom kicks or whatever, you know?
Oh my God, dude. And they're like, they're heat smashes and they're whatever the other one is, like the ultimate.
The rage art.
Yeah, rage art. Those are cool.
They're cool. They're not my favorite of like the ultimate abilities in games. I've seen better.
They could
lately.
Have done a little more. Some of them are cool.
Some of them are cool. Like one of your ladies, the robot lady. She takes her head off and then kicks it at him, and the head explodes. Cool. That's cool. Jax was pretty cool with the rail gun. But yeah, some of them I've been a little underwhelmed by. But with that said, who really cares? Those are things you don't see all the time.
No.
And they're not really integral to the game. It's like a catch-up mechanic, which if you know it's coming, it's easily avoided kind of shit.
Yeah.
You know, so.
So do you remember months ago when Jeff was like, you know the rumor that there's a rumor that fucking Tifa's going to be a guest character in Tekken 8. And I said, don't you give me that hope, Jeff Ling. Don't you do that to me. And then fucking Harada, Mr. Tekken, addressed it on Twitter like the day it fully released or whatever. And he was like, yeah, I get it. She's hot. But we haven't made any decisions based on, you know, for guest characters. And I was like, you need to.
Man, I'll tell you what. If they could do it, that would be amazing. We're going to see a different side to Hawes if that is the case.
Yeah, I'm about to be down with the sickness.
People are going to be, you're going to just be a Tekken stream.
Yeah, for a little bit. And then I'll probably be like, I can't figure out.
No, man, just got to push through that wall.
Yeah.
There's no pain, no gain. But yeah, I think
we were making jokes about how she would be considered like a F-tier character. Yeah. And how there would be like fighting game registrations. Cause I've never noticed this, but Jeff has sent it to us a couple of times where it'll show like how many people are playing, how many characters or which characters in Street Fighter tournaments. I'm joking that there would be one registered Tifa user and that would be me.
That's one of the depressing things about Street Fighter. If I could go on a quick tangent about it's just that anytime now, and Jeff will send us this stuff too, where it's like, you see the finals for all these big tournaments that happen, and it's the exact same guys. Not the people who are competing, but the characters.
Exact same characters.
Yeah, it's always Ken and it's always Luke, mainly those two guys. And then there's like a JP or one random guy gets in there with somebody else. But yeah,
DJ was another big one that I think was. Yeah, and
I feel like that meta needs a shake up.
I do too, and I get, I mean, there it's that way for a reason, but like, I'll be honest with you, the whole statistical breaking down the meta of the characters and then everybody ends up playing the same few characters is not interesting.
It's not where you want to be. Yeah, that's disappointing to me.
Like, I kind of honestly wonder if in some ways, like, that's not good for competitive Street Fighter, because will that lead to people being like, another Ken Luke match? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
and here's the deal. That stuff didn't used to matter to me or you, mm-hmm. I think. But here's the deal. We play against Jeff and Randy.
Mm-hmm.
And that mm-hmm. shit matters now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those little edges, the fact that my favorite character is not really that great, kind of sucks. Like, I hate feeling like I'm coming into a fight against those guys already behind before the you know what I mean?
Before they even start dookie stomping.
Exactly.
Us,
so
stealing mains and whatnot.
So, I still love Street Fighter VI. I have faith that they're going to get there.
Well, I mean, it's going to change so much the more people, the more characters that get added.
They've also said they don't want to fool with the meta, but once in a great, great while. So, I'm respecting that there's probably going to be a pretty huge balance pass in the future.
Yeah, probably after Capcom Cup. And you know, Jeff always brings it up. They do not want to make some big balance change or throw a wrench into things right before Capcom mm-hmm, Cup, you know, which makes sense.
Yeah. So here's hoping that Tekken 8 can avoid that same kind of pitfall. Because you already mentioned it. We're going to go into playing Tekken next weekend with them, and they're going to just
be do a 50-hit combo.
Destroy us. Yeah, it's going to be hilarious. And then we'll just go back to playing.
We have different fucking definition of hilarious. Steve.
We'll just go back to playing Grand Blue Fantasy Relink or something.
We'll say, Ohayo gozaimasu. Sayonara.
Yeah. Itadash.
Oh, man.
Looks good.
Looks good. Tekken 8, we were playing something last night, and I was like, hey, I kind of want to play some Tekken. You want to play some Tekken? And then I went to the bathroom and was like sort of putting comfy pants on, getting ready to chill, because our goal was just, we're hanging out. Nick's going to have some beers. Steve's going to have some beers. I'm going to have some gummies. We're going to hang out and just have a good old time. And we did, in fact, have a good old time. It was awesome.
We did.
And so we played some Tekken, and then we were looking through games. Steve was thinking, oh, maybe we'll play Captain Tsubasa. I come out of the bathroom and he goes, this ain't it. So then we start playing Everybody's Golf. Now, I want to give a shout out to my buddy Aaron Boyd, who introduced me to Everybody's Golf. It's a great little golf game.
Nice. Good shit, man. Yeah, you and I fooled around with it briefly that first night. Yep. We played like two or three holes.
Yep.
We didn't mention that. But yeah, that's.
Yeah, and so I'm pretty good at golf games.
I like to think I'm okay. The old Tiger Woods games I was mm-hmm. really good at.
Mm-hmm. Now this is
a little different.
Yeah, this is a little more cartoony, a little more. You know what it reminds me of is more of like a Hot Shots golf.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tiger Woods, you could put spin on the ball in the air. I don't know how realistic that shit is. You know what I mean? Big dog.
Yeah. So then we start. So Steve sent me this fucking stupid meme about a week before Christmas this year. And it was a picture of Tiger Woods going to shake some dude's hand, and the caption said big dog, and the meme caption was, when you've had too many edibles on Christmas morning and forgot your dad's name. And so we have just occasionally called people or ourselves or other people big dog as a joke reference to that. And I don't know why my dumb brain goes, oh, we're playing golf, you should lean hard into the big dog.
It makes sense. Tiger Woods connection, you know, it's mm-hmm. good. Yeah. But so we even got a little practice on this game, right? Before we play with Nick. So we had a little head start on the dude, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Nick is about 13 beers into his evening or something at this point. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Like, I'm thinking, sorry, guys. You're in my house.
You're going to run away.
Yeah, I was like, I've played this game a lot.
So you've got even more experience.
Because I've played it with other people. Oh my God, my mom just texted me and said, I've been meaning to ask, did y'all see any good-looking women at the concert? Mom, leave me alone. Leave me alone about that stuff.
You've played this golf game a little bit.
Yeah.
And we pick our guys. I want to say you go first.
Uh-huh. I get you know, the Japanese business lady is who I'm playing as. Go figure.
Yeah, my guy looks like Miyazaki.
Uh-huh. Miyazaki is what Steve starts calling him because he looks like if Miyazaki made a Mii character.
Yep.
And every time it was time for Steve to, it was his turn, I would go, show me your feet. like a you know, a me, how a me would sound if it was asking somebody to see their feet.
Miyazaki was inspired. We're going to have to bring that back.
Show me your feet. And so I go first, then Steve goes. And then, so I'm giving Nick like the John Madden lowdown on how to play. Like I'm standing in front, sitting in front of my TV, like pointing at things. Uh-huh. I'm like, so you, this is your meter, yada, yada, yada. And Nick
steps up and smokes one.
His first fucking shot is a perfect shot.
Yeah, he nailed it. Like, yeah. Right on the.
And I go, big dog. And I was like, okay. So Nick got lucky on his first shot. And after the first couple of holes, I'm -2. Steve's at 0. Nick's at -1. Okay. The game ended with Nick -5. Me 0 and Steve -1.
I was -3.
-3.
-3.
Okay. Well, either way, Nick smoked us.
Yeah, he destroyed
bro.
Us. I mean, this dude could not miss. It was funny. He just kept there, and he even when he had trouble, like remember, because he hit it into the water.
Yeah,
at one point, like a noob on hole 2. I'm like, well, here goes Nick. Like he's gonna.
He went positive, Steve.
Yeah. Somehow, and he hit it into the rough a couple of times. Didn't matter. Remember when he thought he was fucking putting on one hole? This is great. He was outside the green, barely.
Uh-huh.
And so he thinks he's putting, okay, because you can't really tell the difference between the grasses. He's had a few beers. Nothing wrong with that. And I remarked to him, hey, just so you know, you're not putting right now. You're chipping. And he's like, oh, okay. I was like, yeah, so you just have to worry about where it lands, the break. Because he's trying to read the break, which is him trying to read the break was really
hilarious,
amazing, too.
Yeah, because he spent some time analyzing Big Dog.
So he chips this fucker right into the hole. Oh, man, that was so good. Like, you and I just looked at each other and we're like,
oh, my God. And then so a second, like just a little bit after Nick destroys us in golf, we start playing something. Maybe we go back to Tekken, and Steve says something about like, oh, I'm gonna get you back in Tekken, and he goes, you want to play some more golf? Whoa, big dog
Will Hunt.
Yep. It was great. And then you know what we ended up doing with the rest of our night is watching stupid YouTube videos.
Yeah, which was fun.
Oh, and by the way, anytime I would come out of my room of doing stuff. Steve's hanging out in the living room. This man is tearing through Sekiro on my Xbox at a breakneck pace.
I think I got about 60% of the way through before I have to leave.
Bro, this man, I come out and I'm like, oh, you're doing a Sekiro run? He's like, yep. Shing, ding, ding. Nani. Like, oh, Kami. I took a nap.
Oh, Kami.
And when I woke up, Nick and Steve had Sekiro bits from when I was napping.
Oh, man. Yeah. So there's a mechanic in that game where, like, you can resurrect. And so you'll die, and the people who killed you will walk away. Like, oh, he's dead. Cool. And I'll let him get a little bit away and then resurrect and then take a drink from my flask because you don't res with full health. And we were joking. Nick's, like, doing the voices of the guys. Like, did you just hear somebody take a sip? And then that led into me being, like, cracking a beer.
Uh-huh.
Did you hear that?
Dude, it was funny.
Oh, man.
That was a second-hand bit I got caught up on, and it was funny. That's when you know a bit's funny. When you get caught up and you're like, no, that is funny.
Yeah. Also, just thinking every time a character in Dark Souls takes a drink from like a flask to heal, that they're cracking a Miller Lite or something. Yeah. That's good.
It's so funny. Nick showed up and he goes, is there a place around here to get beer? And I was like, yeah, I got beer, buddy. I got it. And he was like, yeah, you got beer. I crush these.
He does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he do.
He doesn't play around.
Nope.
But, nope. I mean, with that said, he's not like, he only does that on when he's.
Yeah.
When he's
no,
drunk. He's not
no.
like a, he doesn't have
no.
a problem.
No, but like, it's Miller Lite. I get it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Man, God, it's so good to see those guys.
I know, man.
And so Nick left today.
Yeah, we woke up and he was gone. I came out in the living room because we were supposed to go to brunch, and I was like, oh,
yeah,
Nick's gone.
Our brunch plans got canceled, so I ended up cooking a big breakfast.
And it was awesome.
Yep, a little sausage, some bacon, some toast, some hash browns.
It was scrambled amazing.
Eggs. Yeah, it was really good.
And then I did some chores around the house while Steve played Sekiro. And then what we did...
Ooh. Yes.
So I'm sure you guys will remember my horror story from a few weeks ago of... going to buy a lot of Final Fantasy trading card game cards from a real just deplorable neckbeard type, a real renegade, if you will. what we decided, so I was playing some Final Fantasy VII Remake and Steve was watching a football game on his phone. I was like, buddy, if you want to watch football, put it on the TV. Let's go play some Final Fantasy cards. And that's what we did. Sorry, guys. We had to take a quick break to eat dinner. We got about 3/4 through the episode and the food showed up.
Bulgogi.
Sheesh. Hope that bartender's doing all right. Final Fantasy trading card game.
Yes.
So I've had all these Final Fantasy cards and I've opened a few packs and checked them out, watched some YouTube videos on playing the game, but I have yet to have a chance to play it. So Steve and I decided to crack into it today. Now, we didn't make custom decks or, you know, really anything like that because I had some starter sets that come with two pre-built decks. One that was Cloud versus Sephiroth and one that's Avalanche versus Shinra. Because, of course, they're Final Fantasy VII themed, the ones I have. And we gave it a shot and it's fun.
Well, yeah, we really enjoyed it, I think, you know. So I feel like it's my specialty is helping you learn how to play card games.
Yeah, because like I'll read it and I'm like, I can't think good.
I can't think good. So yeah, the first time we played through, it was a little slow. We were trying to make sure we were doing things right.
Right.
And yeah, I think we're going to maybe try again here before the night is through.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed it. I won a couple, and you won one.
Yeah, we played three rounds. And honestly, I feel, and like this game has been out since like 2016. And it's been one of those things that like, I want to get into that. And I just never did.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am. It's not overly complicated.
Doesn't seem to be.
Which mm-hmm. some collectible card games can be. Takes a lot of influence from Magic, which if you're doing a collectible card game, you kind of have to take some influence with Magic
right.
from Magic, you know.
Yeah, so there's like cast costs, right?
Yeah,
you can have
elements.
You have like certain classes of characters. You have a character class called forwards, which are basically your guys who attack.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have backups who don't ever attack, but you can use them to get mana or
right.
whatever to cast stuff and other buffs. And that's pretty cool. We haven't seen any monsters yet. None of these decks have had monsters.
No, and it certainly seems like, you know, these starter decks are there to... Luna is just
tippy-tapping.
Tippy-tapping. She said, oh, I'm going to drink some water.
Smells like bulgogi.
Slop.
Good.
Man, these animals are going to be bummed. The animals have had friends over for like 4 days now. And Walter and Luna specifically have been showing out for company.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Walter.
Yeah, man.
He's great.
You know what's funny is last night Nick goes, you know, all this time you talked about how friendly Walter is, I never really believed it, but you're right. He's like the friendliest cat I've ever met.
He is so friendly. Such a sweetheart.
And Nick, I also have two things to say. Steve got to witness the phenomenon of Walter's late night song of his people. It happens every night when I go to bed, turn all the lights off and close my door. I'll be there laying in bed trying to go to sleep and all I hear is wow.
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Just walking up and down the hall,
just making the rounds, making sure everything's cool.
And then there is this thing that Walter does that I've not really brought up because it's one of those things where if I told people they would be like, "Okay, sure, your cat does this." But he has a Coheed and Cambria song that I don't know, it must be a frequency or something in that song. When I start playing it, if he hears it, 9 times out of 10, he'll start singing.
Nice.
And I played last night randomly, And he immediately started, and it went through the whole song. As soon as the song ended, he stopped.
It's true. We were there.
And I was like, Nick, he's good. And Nick's like, no. I was like, yeah, he's going to keep doing it. And sure enough, he was just sitting on the kitchen cabinet next to the Alexa speaker, fucking singing along.
Something about the vibrations in that song really worked for him.
I like it.
He said, that's my shit.
That's my shit, man. They did a sequel to that Rick Springfield song.
You should take him to a concert.
Oh, my God. Put little earphones
little
on.
Little earmuffs.
Yeah. You guys better play that song for him.
Oh, man. Could you imagine if you like they did and he started like losing his mind like catnip or something?
So we sat down and played, and like, I got to say, like, it's a solid little card game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I imagine once you get into constructing your own decks and things like that, it's more complicated. There's play mechanics that I don't think we really interfaced with yet, just not having the opportunity to.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But the synergies, like, the one thing I can say is the pre-constructed decks are solid.
Mm-hmm.
There's a solid strategy that they're not the same strategy for both decks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And once you get in there and start figuring out, like, synergies between cards and abilities and stuff, it's pretty fun.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, your deck had really cool stuff whenever you were able to get, like, Barrett, Wedge,
Biggs
out. Yeah, like if you could get the all the operatives out, you can party up as an attack.
Yeah,
right. Like, so if they're of a certain elemental nature, mm-hmm. they can team up and attack, and they get these buffs when they attack, which when they start stacking on top of each other like that, that's what really starts giving you the edge in this game.
Yeah,
I think it's what's almost referred to as like an engine builder. Like where you're trying to basically get
right.
get the engine running. Mm-hmm. Like where in the last game we played, I had the Shinra deck.
Bro, hey, Steve annihilated me in like 15 minutes with this last.
It was a beating. But yeah. With that said, like I told you, it was a lot of luck because I got a great hand to start, and I was able to get like Rufus. And all the other dipshits saying rude
Reno,
who by the time he came out was just an absolute monster because of the buffs, and they, you know, they all were buffed to where they didn't have to, like, quote, to use magic terminology, tap to attack.
Right. Yeah.
So I was just able to consequence free send them over every time, you know.
Yeah. And they do, it's weird, like, as we were playing, it started to make more sense as a Final Fantasy fan, mm-hmm. where like party composition in a Final Fantasy game is kind of reflected in this mm-hmm. card game. And there's summons, and the summons are fucking cool.
Yeah.
And Steve was doing a Shiva summon that would freeze my front line. What do you call them?
Yeah, the front, I think, is what, like, front.
Oh, what are they called? As the cards are forward.
Forwards, there
all
you go.
All my forward characters. He was just able to freeze them.
Yeah, they tap and then freeze so they don't untap on your next turn, and that's a huge advantage. The second match we had I thought was my favorite, which was the Cloud Sephiroth decks.
Yeah.
You won this, and it was kind of a cool like back and forth at first where I had like this weaker version of Sephiroth, and like I kept being able to pull out these like lower level, like
Shinra troopers,
exactly. Yeah. Just from my Shoulders. Kept being able to pull them out of the deck and play them.
Yeah.
So I just kind of kept having this low level army, and you were kind of doing the same thing, pulling like low level operatives out. We were killing those guys off, and then I thought I had made this smooth move where I brought out like the you killed off Sephiroth, and I was like, ah, now I can bring out
the big boy. Yeah.
Right? He's got the super moves. And then you were able to, in one turn, pull out like this crazy synergistic move.
Yep, I got Tifa and Barrett out on the road. And anytime, so I also had Zach.
Mm-hmm.
Zach was a big part of my strategy that round because anytime you fielded a character that was the fire element, they would get extra attack power. Or mm-hmm. you could do 2,000 damage to one of your enemy's opponents, right? Mm-hmm. And it just all stacked up out of nowhere.
You were able to, like, basically my line of defense, you were able to annihilate it without having to
tap any
to,
of my
to
guys.
Attack. Yeah. And then you were able to just send everybody and kill me just enough damage on one turn to get it done. Because I was going to kill you probably on the next turn.
Yep.
But the fact that you were able to, I loved that because that felt like Final Fantasy to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like your team working their buffs and getting this big attack off when it mattered the most. You know, yeah. It was really cool. It felt like an epic moment.
And now that I understand how the game works a little better, I definitely want to get in and sort of dig into the cards and stuff, because like I could see things like a Dragoon deck being cool. Or God,
it's getting hot in here. Is it getting hot in here? Or is it just me?
Waifu deck where it's Tifa and Yuna and Lulu and Jill.
God, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm just going to be thinking of Dragoon deck from when, now on.
Because right now their most recent expansion, I think, is based on Final Fantasy Stranger in Paradise. Not one I'm super interested in, but you got to imagine the next one they're probably going to do is 16.
Dude, I just thought that I could have a deck that has Kane and Estinian in it.
Yeah. And Ariana Highwind, which is another
the Lady Dragoon.
Yeah, from 15.
Yes.
Yeah, man. That's it.
Directly into my veins. You might have created a fan here. Yeah. I might be going to buy some booster packs.
Can I get some packs? I want to crack some packs. Man. It's been a second since I've been into a collectible card game. It's fun to be back into it. And then there's a new Star Wars one coming out in March.
Who's doing that?
Fantasy Flight. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that makes sense. They did the last one we got into, right? The slight collectible card game.
That one was a deck building card game, right?
Right. Yes.
Yeah, so not a collectible card game. That's one of those where you just buy the boosters. Yeah, and it came with every card.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, you got every card involved.
And then they did. So they've done a lot.
They had a Game of Thrones one that was the same shit.
Exactly. Yeah. That we played before the Star Wars one ever came out.
Star Wars one was better.
Yeah. So they did the Star Wars, that one. Then they did Star Wars Destiny, mm-hmm. which was a collectible card game where you bought booster packs, but there were also dice in with the booster packs, which kind of, in my opinion, kind of overcomplicated the thing a little too much. It seemed fairly popular and ran for a while before they discontinued it, and now they have Star Wars Unlimited coming, which is the new collectible card game. Gotcha. No dice mechanic, no goofy shit like that.
Yeah, dice mechanic seems weird in a card game.
Well, because then you have a lot of die that you have to keep up with, because mm-hmm. each character has their own.
Oh, no.
You see what I mean? Yeah. Like, and then that's just too much.
I really enjoyed that other one, the Star Wars one we played. Do you still have those cards?
Oh, fuck yeah.
I was going to say, of course you do.
Of course I do. I think I might have almost every expansion for that, because I was keeping up with it for a while. They actually had some of those expansions at Second and Charles yesterday.
Nice.
I was like, I'll be damned. Yeah. Look at this.
Yeah, that one was solid. I guess that's the nature of these games anymore. They're kind of transient, where they just are out, release a bunch of shit.
Unless it really takes off.
Right, yeah,
right?
If you're Magic or...
And it feels like Star Wars Destiny took off pretty well at the beginning and then maybe tapered off or mm-hmm. fell off after that.
There's other stuff we were just talking about earlier, like there's other franchises that are kind of intriguing to us as well, stuff like Flesh and Blood.
Uh-huh, yep.
Which might be fun to check out. It's kind of the same deal. I think you can buy like a character deck.
Yeah.
And, you know, then you can buy like booster packs.
That definitely, that seems to be sort of the collectible card game business model now, is some starter decks. So, okay, if you just want to play today.
Yep. Here you go.
You get this pack with two decks or, you know, individual starter decks, and then you can buy booster packs.
Which makes tons of sense, personally. Like, I think that's great. You got a buddy. You want to get into this game. You each buy a starter deck.
It also kind of shows you how you should build a deck when the time comes.
True.
You know, sort of division of types of characters and things like that.
And also then, you of course, when you're buying these starter decks, you're going to, hey, why don't we buy like 8 or 10 booster packs, you know, because we're gonna open those up after we play, you know, and then it's a whole thing, and that's fun. I like that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I just need to sit down and figure out, like, what fucking booster is all the Tifa cards?
Well, maybe the one that has her picture on it.
You would think so, Steve. You would think so, but in Square Enix fashion, that nothing is guaranteed.
We're sitting here looking at your boxes, and there's one on the top with her very heavily featured as, like, the back. Drop.
You know what's crazy about that one? That booster box specifically is typically more expensive than what I paid for that entire lot. So I don't know if that dude was just like, I need the money, or I want to get rid of these Final Fantasy cards. But I kind of got that booster on a steal when it all comes down to like. It.
Game is fun, man. I'm ready to rev up Shinra again.
Uh-oh.
Get Rufus and the boys back together.
You go back to your daddy, Rufus. President Shinra. He's a backup character.
Yeah, I know. He's not. I mean, I had them all out.
You had the entire turn. I was like, Steve, you're just missing Elena. And then he was like, well, I'm going to burn these two cards and play Elena. I was like, fuck.
I even had President Shinra out there.
Yep, yep.
As his backup character. But man, yeah.
That was cool.
That engine got fully built and it's pretty terrifying.
And the thing I love is like, the cards are very cool.
They're very nice. They're high quality cards.
Yeah, and like it's not in a weird way. You know, you would think maybe this was a minus, but they're not a consistent art style.
Right.
They kind of stick to the art style of whatever game you know it comes from. Mm-hmm. Obviously, in these starter decks, there's a lot of Final Fantasy VII shit, but there's also stuff from Final Fantasy III and mm-hmm. all kinds of other shit.
There's so many interesting things that they're doing in here as well. Like you're able to have like a character that's so there's lots of elements, right? Everything
yeah.
is kind of based around the elements,
mm-hmm.
and there's I think eight. But then on top of those eight elements, you've got a
light
and
a dark, right?
And you can only have one of those things in your deck at any given time, I guess. And those are interesting. Like those cards have their own kind of neat little rules to them. But they're super powerful. Like mm-hmm. I was able to bring in Kadage, and he was able to really kind of turn that around for me. Even though yep. that was the one you won, like that was the most back and forth game we had.
Yeah, and I haven't even been able to summon or use the light character in either of my decks, which is Aerith.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't had a chance to yet. But
there's a mechanic where whenever I damage you, so when I send my guys to attack, okay,
mm-hmm.
they have like ratings of like say Sephiroth has like 8,000.
Yeah.
Whatever. So that's for like blocking purposes. But if I get through and hit you, it just does 1 point of damage.
Right.
And when you take that point of damage, you take the top card of your deck and put it off to the side, like face up in like a damage pile.
Mm-hmm.
And then you check the card, and if it's got something special on it that says EX, then
yeah.
you actually get a little bonus for it too. So I enjoyed that whole like damage mechanic of you losing cards as
yeah.
well. Like there's extra levels, and I got Aerith like every time. It
I
felt
know.
Like
and several times Tifa too, and you'd go ooh.
Yeah, yeah. There was that one time where you were like Barret, Cloud, Tifa, Red 13.
Yeah,
Aerith.
I was like, you got the whole fucking cast, Steve. Yeah, yeah. It's fun. I can't wait to sort of dig in and look into it some more.
Yeah, we're going to open some booster packs when we get done here.
Yeah, I got to put some episodes together, and then it's booster pack time, baby.
Yeah.
In fact, fuck this. Let's go do that now.
All
Let's
right.
go end the weekend. That's what we did on our boys' weekend.
Yeah.
We played video games and fucked off.
Yeah, and let me just say that I had a blast here, man, with you. And
hell
it's
yeah.
so fun to sit here and actually record in person.
I know. It's been so long.
I know. Gosh, it's years. So it's nice to do again, and hopefully not as long until the next time.
Hell yeah, let's hope not.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to leave this here, guys. We'll be back to normal shenanigans next week, I'm sure.
Yeah.
So
find some yeah. shit to talk about.
I don't know. I'll be back here being like, Jeff's really great at Hosoka Street Fighter 8, and I'm salty.
Hopefully we can report in about Granblue Fantasy Relay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping. So. Anyways, guys, you know, leave us a review, send us emails. We'll, you know, we'll do the Florian stuff and any other emails on our next episode. So we'll see you guys.
Bye.